controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. And now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy!
Hey, what is up? Welcome to a very special episode of Gaming Uncensored. I'm Tommy. Of course, Jamie's sitting over there, but today we are joined by a very special guest, and that is Pavel from 11-Bit Studios. 11-Bit Studios is the team behind This War of Mine, and we've been talking about that a lot on the podcast recently, and so we got an opportunity to chat with him, and we're pumped about it. We're super excited. So
we love this game!
Yeah, we do. We absolutely love this game. So anyway, Pavel, how are you?
Hello, guys. All fine. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for asking. Like Jamie said, we absolutely do love the game. It's been something we've talked about a lot in our podcast recently, and it's just a fascinating title. And so thank you so much for being here and for chatting with us a little bit about it. So just to start out, tell us a little bit about the why. What was the thinking going into this game?
Well, basically, the idea was brought by my older brother, who's a CEO at the company. And from time to time, we have like general brainstorms when we try to, you know, present our ideas and look for the most interesting ones, where the entire team is involved. And simply, he brought this very idea, and it was so different to anything we could think of and so striking that we were definitely ignited by the idea in 1 second, and we all agreed, yeah, let's do it. And then few quick thoughts, and we knew we should make it, you know, serious with a proper respect for the topic, and that's how everything started to evolve further. I think the other reason, the sort of behind the idea, was thinking by my brother, by me, by other folks from the team, that we are not that young gamers anymore. Like, I am close to 40.
So it's not just you. We're not either.
Yeah, exactly. That's our thought. Like, average gamer is not the teenager anymore. And we thought that the gaming community can expect something more from games, just the pure entertainment, that the gamer can expect mature experience, and we are able to deliver it. And I need to underline that it's not like we're against traditional gaming that, you know, can give you fun and laughter and competition and then adrenaline action and so on, but we wanted to try something new, and I believe it worked pretty well from the gamer's perspective. Of course, it required a lot of work, and it was a long process. That was it.
You said something that really has struck me about the game, is that I've never seen anything else like it. I mean, there's not a game like this out there. It's sort of similar to Papers, Please, but I think it even takes it to a different level. And I've been really struck by the seriousness of the game myself.
Yeah, I think Papers, Please was one of the major inspirations, actually. Not when it comes to the theme, but when it comes to how you can treat a game as a serious storytelling tool. And just when we announced the game, we actually met the creator of Papers, Please at the Game Developer Conference in San Francisco. And it was, you know, we just chatted to him quickly, we talked with him briefly, but basically he got the idea. Well, he wished us luck. He told we should not fuck this up, pardon my French. I believe we have not. But we were supporting each other, you know, in word of mouth and so on, because Papers, Please is a great game. On the other hand, this guy was very supportive for all the serious projects being developed at the time.
Yeah. So
this is not a coincidence. Like, we played a lot. We played Papers, Please a lot, found it as a brilliant experience. Of course, we were doing something different. Like, in the Papers, Please, you're a customs officer. We wanted to create something very close to reality and being experienced about civilians in war.
Yeah, that's really cool. I didn't have any idea that y'all kind of chatted with each other, you and the guys at Papers, Please. And so I think the comparisons between the two games make a lot of sense because of kind of the heavy nature of them and just the depth of storytelling in a way that's a lot different in kind of traditional games. With that, what kind of takeaway or what kind of message do you want somebody who plays this War of Mine to come away with?
Well, you know, this is a very this is a game that has a very personal perception. So I believe many people may have different perception again and different experience at the end or get a different message. However, mostly what people get is what we wanted to achieve, and I believe it worked well, that, you know, war can happen anytime, anywhere. It doesn't matter if you're American, if you're Jewish, if you're Polish, Russian, Swedish. It doesn't matter. Nationality does not matter. It doesn't matter. Your religion is completely not important. What matters is you're facing the hardest test a human can face, and you're on your own. Civilization is down, everything is down, you're just on your own, and if you want to protect the ones you love and you want to protect yourself, you will probably have to sacrifice your moral fiber, because war is such a heavy test. So and as such, I think this game can be considered as an anti-war message.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, because I just finished the game for the first time last night. And, of course, I failed miserably. Everybody died. Everybody in my game died. Nobody survived. And I felt awful when it was over. But at the very end of my playthrough, I normally play games as a nice guy, as somebody that tries to do the right thing. But at the very end of my playthrough, I needed medicine and bandages, and so I sold them. And then when the character got back to the building, he was too weak to move, so he couldn't use them. And I just, you know, at the end of the game, I felt really bad. And that's something that we have talked about on the show in the last couple of weeks, is that the game really gets to you. It really gets to your emotions and what you feel and what you think about. And I think that's really great.
Yeah, thank you for the good word. It was Michal Drozdowski's work, the creative director behind the game, who came up with the idea of certain design pillars that would make the entire game an environment in which you tell the story by your deeds, by your choices, your decisions, and so on. But the game is not judging you at all, because we figure out that if the game would be telling you, oh, you're the bad guy or you're the good guy, that would be like, you know, selling a shallow moral story right onto you. While in the environment where you are the storyteller, and in fact, this War of Mine works that way, you make the deeds, good or bad ones, and then you judge yourself, because you see consequences of your choices. And since the game is very hard, because being close to reality means that, you know, obviously surviving war is something extremely hard. So the game is very hard, because we are trying, I hope we managed to cover that, we are trying to stay as close to reality as possible. And because of that, you are often faced with so heavy choices that, like, exactly like in your situation, you had to steal something, otherwise you would sacrifice your characters and then they would die. And it's often, sadly, the reality of war. And also, it's possible to survive war in this war of mine without stealing or without any bad deeds, but it's extremely difficult, because also we wanted to show that the cost of staying true to your moral fiber and staying true to, say, humanity is extremely hard. And yeah, that's the message.
Yeah, I think that comes across brilliantly in the game. You're absolutely right. I mean, the design concept comes through, because it is incredibly difficult to get through the game without having to do something that makes you feel nasty inside or something, because it's just so bleak. One of those things, you talked about the characters a lot, and so the kind of backstories and stuff from the characters really interest me. And so there's a handful of different characters in the game, and they all have kind of what happened, and you've kind of find that out as, like, the days progress. You get a little bit more story on what happened to maybe their family or their previous lives before the war. And so I was curious to whether or not there were specific people or situations that inspired those characters.
Well, that's a yes or no. When it comes to physical appearance, it's actually us.
Okay.
All the characters you can see in the game, this is us.
Really quick, which one are you in the game?
I can't remember exactly. I think I am with parents in a semi-detached house.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I have AK-47 in the game, and I'm pretty dangerous, actually.
Yeah, you might have killed me once.
Could be, yeah. So my parents in the game are, like, quite... how do you say, they cannot defend themselves, but I have a gun, so I'm like guarding the house, but I'm not a major character, but
sure.
Other folks from the team are the ones you play in the shelter, so all the anyone you can see in the game, it's us, our relatives or our friends, because we scanned ourselves in 3D because we wanted to have a real feel of people, not unrealistic models or actors that are, you know, Hollywood looking, like, with beautiful teeth and great bodies. We wanted to have a real people. So I'm a bit fat guy, so we wanted to have, you know, some people who, like, you know, some are a bit skinny, some are tall, some are short, some are fat, to have, like, real people. So this is why we scheduled ourselves. So, and on the other hand, the biographies behind the characters are based on real people as well, but it's like a collage. It's not one-to-one real stories, but they are made up, and there's a purpose behind it. Wojtek, the guy who created most of the characters and wrote the biographies for them, he wanted to cover common tropes of personalities. So you have one personality of a guy who's, like, a bit more selfish. You have a girl who is more feeling for others than the other characters. A tough guy, a more delicate guy. Because we wanted to have a different kind of personalities. And in fact, whatever you do in the game, people may react different. So if you have a tough or a selfish guy, they would probably react in a smaller or to a smaller extent when you do something evil. And you, when you have a girl that bolsters spirits or is good for others, she will feel a lot better when you do something good, like when you help the kids or when you help wounded people or when you help someone who asks simply for help. So anyway, we wanted to have different kinds of personalities, and in fact they are. There were, in the basic version, there were 12 different characters, each had different personalities. Of course, when I say personality, I mean some mathematical figure, you could even say matrix, behind such in-game character. It's expressed by numbers, obviously, but what you see is our imagination of how different personalities could be presented and how you should see them as a player, as the player in this world of mine.
Yeah.
And then you have also fictional background of the city in which the game takes place and the fictional conflict to make the world coherent. So you can imagine that Wojtek, the guy who wrote most of the story, I wrote some parts as well, but he wrote the most. He even wrote a fictional story of the city back to the 12th century to make it as rich as possible. So you may not even see it in the game, but for us, it was a big, big world in which we put all the universum and events in the game and so on.
Yeah.
And finally, what you do in the game creates the biographies, the further biographies of the characters. So whatever you do, you saw that probably that you have the my story and so on of characters being updated once or in 2 days or something with new information. Most of them are comments to your deeds. So you become also the narrator of this story. That was very important for us, to involve the player into telling, into be one of the storytellers.
Yeah, that's great. Just really quickly related to that as well, was there a specific conflict or multiple conflicts that you kind of modeled the war after? And is there a city that the city is based on?
Yeah, surely. I think the biggest inspiration would be the Siege of Sarajevo in Bosnian War. The city was is the capital of nowadays Bosnia. It was under siege from 92 to 96 for 4 years with some small breaks. So it was not entire 4 years of the siege, but mostly through those 4 years. Because it's very well documented, so it was relatively easy for us to find memoirs and videos and interviews with people who survived the siege of Sarajevo. We met the guy who was living there as a kid, and he told us many interesting things about it. But we were also looking for stories happening even right now in Syria or in Libya. I know Wojtek were reading articles about the siege of Monrovia that took place in early 2000s. We were also looking for memoirs of people who survived the Warsaw Uprising, the city where we are living, because you surely know that, you know, during Second World War, our city was heavily, heavily destroyed, almost burned to the ground. And people were living in ruins without any means for life, without any necessities. And it's pretty close to what happened, to what's happening in this world of mine. And we're looking for memoirs to get the feel, to know what was the most striking stories people remember when it comes to their experiences. Because we didn't want it to capture the political background, because like I mentioned, it really doesn't matter. We wanted to capture what people feel, what were the most important stories. And there is one I remember You can read it on Australian Amnesty International. There was a lady from Sarajevo who escaped later to Australia, and she was wounded at the beginning of the siege. She was delivered to the hospital, and at the same day, some older lady was delivered to her room as well. Both of them were wounded, and since there were many victims of war on the very first day, the hospital ran out of bandages and antibiotics and so on very quickly. So there was the doctor standing above the lady, deciding if she would be safe or the older one, because they had just one last shot of antibiotics. And the doctor decided to save the younger one because she has had whole life ahead of her. And the same night, the older lady died. So it was a very good example of how heavy choices people have to make when they face war. Because this doctor sacrificed the older lady to save the younger one. So he's some kind of hero, and also some kind of guy who made something really, you know, heavy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, man.
And that comes through in the game, I think, because when I started my playthrough of the game, I had the three characters there, and they all eventually got sick and died. But before the last one died, somebody showed up at the shelter. Another character showed up at the shelter. I don't know if you experienced that, Tommy, at all. But Anton showed up at the shelter, and so I played several days with just him. And it was really hard to find enough supplies and to scavenge enough stuff for three people. I could see doing it for one person, but three people, you have to make choices.
Yeah. It's really, really tricky. With that, I think this is one of the things that I love about the game, about what you guys are doing, is you kind of take that heaviness and you're doing something real and great with it. And that's the work with War Child, the charity. So can you talk a little bit about what War Child does and what your connection with them is?
Yes, so basically we've been talking with those guys even before the announcement of the game, I think, as far as I remember. Because we figure out it's a pretty natural for us to support them, and it's pretty natural for them to support us. Because they are trying to spread the message. Well, basically, War Child is a charity organization that supports children in war zones. And they provide shelters, medication, education. They even evacuate children from war zones. So practically all the needs children have when in war zones. So being safely evacuated being the most important one, of course. And we figure out we want to work with those guys because, you know, we can, obviously. And we want to spread the message. And we want them to spread our message as well. So the cooperation was natural. So first thing we did together was a charity action last year that we partner with street artists from all over the world. And I mean US guys, Canadian, French, Italian, UK, and Polish. So we talked with those street artists that we will make the in-game gallery and we will do everything for free because we want to do it for charity, and eventually we did. And that we want to make an in-game gallery with pictures or pieces of art, actually, commenting war and human condition in general. And those artists actually agreed to work with us, and they delivered amazing artworks, and we put them in the game. And we sold this as a DLC on Steam, and all the money we got was given to War Child. And after 1 month, we raised money equal to helping 350 children, refugees from Syria. So maybe not a big number comparing how many children War Child in general managed to help. But for us, it was big enough already.
That's great.
Yeah, but it's an ongoing action. So actually, from that moment, we doubled the number even in 2015, and we're still organizing it. So I'm pretty certain it's bigger, and we have another big initiative in mind. But I don't want to unveil details yet because we're still working on it. I think I should be ready to tell more in March or at last in April, probably.
That's awesome. And it's really cool with what you guys are doing and making this game that tackles a difficult subject that you're also working with a foundation that's doing really good stuff. So I'll mention really quick, the website is just warchild.org if you want more information about what they do. And the connections there. Also that DLC, I think, is 99 cents on Steam in the US. And so go pick that up and you know, support, obviously, what 11-Bit Studios and these guys are doing with this War of Mine, but also support this great cause.
I'm going to pick it up tonight. I didn't even see it, but I'll pick it up tonight. That's really cool.
It's amazing. And so, yeah, thank you so much, you guys, for doing that, because that's obviously a huge need. And so that's phenomenal.
Big thanks. Sorry, Tommy. I definitely need to underline that the biggest thanks should go to gamers all around the world, because, you know, they play the game, they buy the DLC. They're the biggest supporters. So big thanks to the community from all around the world, and hats off.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much for that. One just last quick thing I'm just curious about is for you personally, what video games do you play? What do you use as kind of inspiration, both for your work, but also just for your own pleasure?
You know, I'm a big fan of indie games. So, yeah, I played a lot of... the sad thing is that actually I don't have that much time to play.
Right.
We understand that. We have the same problem.
As being an old gamer.
Yeah.
Days I work on games, then I go home, I'm spending time with my kids and so on. I play a lot of Football Manager. You know, I'm a European, I'm a crazy soccer fan. So this is my most favorite soccer game. But I do like indie games. What would be the last one? I played on my iPhone amazing great game called 80 Days. I don't know if you play that one. It's like basically you're like the Phileas Fogg from the book by Julius Verne, and you need to, and it's happening like early 20th century, and you have a task to make a journey around the world below 80 days, and you have a different route you can take. It's a very brilliant game and very well written. The story is a masterpiece in that game.
Yeah.
I played lately. Really don't remember. I like play a lot of Football Manager mostly.
Fair enough.
Look on my Steam account.
Yeah.
I have Steam turned on right now.
We live on Steam. It has changed the way that we play games, because the indie games are available. And I wanted to ask you about that very, very quickly. I assume that you guys were very happy to work with Steam, because it got your game out to a very large audience that you might not have found otherwise. What has your experience been like working with Steam and being involved with that?
Well, it's pretty actually good and pretty easy, because on Steam, on Valve's platform, you do pretty much everything on your own. Like, you have online tools to set up everything, So it's completely up to you. But then, of course, the game needs to be successful or, I don't know, well-hyped. So Valve helps to promote it via front page. I think this is also quite important. But we never experienced any real issues, I think. It was always smooth and worked pretty well. Regarding the previous question, I remember a really cool game I played lately a lot last year. It was Mini Metro. Do you know that game? It's like a really simple but very intelligent game where you're like a metro planner or underground planner.
Yeah, I've seen it. I haven't played it.
Yeah, it's a good one. Definitely will recommend it. Oh, yeah, and I remember another one, The Talos Principle.
Yeah.
That's a masterpiece. Like, on one hand, you have a puzzler where you piece by piece are solving puzzles, but then you have a really deep philosophical story in the background. I heavily recommend that one.
That's very cool. He just gave me three games. I'm gonna go pick up tonight, because I need more stuff to play. And we play a lot of
Talos Principle. It's a masterpiece. Like, I beat every single achievement in that one and completed on every possible level. But some puzzles are really tough, so I cheated a little and found solutions on YouTube.
That we do that too. So,
right, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I found some inspiration online to help me figure out the best way to get through this war of mine. So I get it.
Yep.
That's
we're gamers after all, right?
Right.
I haven't looked up stuff for this war of mine online yet, but I started a new game last night. And I told myself that this time everybody wasn't going to die, so I may have to get some help off the internet.
That's right.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Try without it anyway.
Yeah, the first time and then you die miserably.
It's doable. Just please pay attention to many details and try to collect as many stuff as you can. And then build the necessities like stove and a wooden bed and a heater. This is the stuff you will need in the first place, and a metal workshop.
Yeah, I'm doing things differently my second playthrough than I did my first. So I'm hoping to do better because it was depressing to have everybody die.
It is. It's awful. I think I started my fifth this morning. The great thing, one of the things I'll mention really quick that's really cool about the game for people who haven't spent a ton of time with it, after you finish like through the campaign with a set of characters, it opens up essentially different scenarios with different characters. And so the one I started today, you start just as, I think it's Marcos, that's the scavenger. But it's like you start solo with just him, and then eventually you get another character or two that come by. But it's really hard, what you were talking about, where you were at the end of the game with just one character. Starting at the beginning of the game with just one character is really tricky too, because if you leave to go out and scavenge at night, then you leave yourself open for people to come raid your stuff and steal. And it's, yeah. All that to say, it's an amazingly well put together game that challenges you and is difficult and hurts your head and makes you feel things, and those are all really good things.
Yeah, I would say this is a serious experience for a mature gamer.
Absolutely,
that's how you wanted to make, and I see a large part of this game community are mature gamers, you know, 20-something, 30-something, 40-something year olds.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great that there's guys like you making games for us that are deeper and what everything this war mine is, which is just awesome. So, man, thank you so much for your time. This is great. We love the game, and so it's an absolute pleasure for us to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys, and pardon my clumsy English. I'm not a native speaker. I I hoped I was clear enough. If not, well.
my friend, you speak better English than we do.
So, right, it was great.
So don't
not
worry
a problem
about
at all.
We hope if you have any big announcements or other things to talk about it, we hope that we can meet with you again. We'd love to have you back. I know you guys are constantly working on stuff, so hopefully we can do this again.
Yeah, definitely new stuff coming this year, not only related to this war of mine. So I would say stay tuned for the news.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
All right, so we need to wrap this up. Tommy, what do the kids need to know?
That Pavel is awesome, and that this war of mine is awesome, and that they're doing good work. And so go spend money both on their game and on the DLC and help support a good cause and play a game that's going to make you sad, but it's also really good.
Yes, absolutely. and this will be a lot of people are going to hear this. So if you're listening to this right now, definitely go spend some money and do that. Pavel has been really good to come and hang out with us for a little while today, and we appreciate that very much. And we're just thankful to be able to do this and to be able to talk about games with people that really enjoy making them. It's good to know that you guys are out there and doing what you're doing. And so we appreciate it very much. We hope you guys enjoy the interview today. And that's pretty much all we've got for now.
Yep.
All right. For right now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. And Pablo is over there. We're Gaming Uncensored for one more week. And we are out.